city or town. The Apostle Paul, when he'd go to a new city, he would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail, because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Our interview today is with Joanne Sean. She is from China, grew up in a Chinese communist regime, and she's talking about her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done in her life, what she has come to see, understand, and realize in America as to the condition of our nation. Just a few moments ago before the news break, she was talking about what she had seen in America and what seems to be a decline into the embracing of socialism, communism, Marxism. When I use those terms, I'm blending them, of course. Marxism, socialism are the precursors to what you'd find in full-fledged communism. And as a result of that, we just talked about Psalms 33:12. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I'm thankful that America is built on a Christian foundation. Now, I know there may be some listening and others that you've heard talk about it. Most of our school system today, the Marxist teachers in our schools and professors in our universities have a lot of alt when we talk about a Christian nation and America being founded on godly principles. When you look at the foundation, our foundation today built on the morals, ethics, and the values that has caused America to be the constitutional republic that's the freest nation, the nation with the greatest liberties of any nation on the face of the globe. And yet we have those that's wanting to destroy that. Some of the political leaders are pushing for that today. Joanne, talk about that further for just a moment, and what you have stated to me, your position is, and your thoughts on that issue.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and I'm so thankful that President Trump stood up to read the Bible in the public of public arena, mm-hmm. such as American Reads the Bible. A movement, I think it's in April, and in May, he read the same message in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 to 22, if I didn't remember wrong. And he stood up for his faith. He's calling on the Christians yes. in this nation to stand up for faith, mm-hmm. because we are a Christian nation.
Yes.
We are a nation built up on God's word. We are a nation, Republican nation, not Democrat nation. Because everything is built on biblical foundation.
Yes.
Everything. I can see that from Columbus landed in the New World. That's what at the time people called. He gave thanks to God. And also during all the history, through the Puritans, the Mayflower landed in America. Everything we can see that. I think back in 1620, we all know that history, right? Mm-hmm. American history is built on biblical foundation.
Yes.
And so that's why I keep calling my Christian friends in America. I said, if we need to make America great again, we must make America godly again.
That's right.
MAGA, right? Make America great again. We need to make America godly again.
That's right.
We need to continue to pray for protection, power, strength, wisdom, and rely on Him to do all the works. Continue to pray for President Trump.
Yes.
That's always, I post some prayer points from presidential prayer team for our nation, mm-hmm. especially praying for President Trump, his team, to all kinds of work they have been doing.
Amen.
For American people. So I appreciate all they have done and what they have doing right now. And as I stated, I make a statement. I said, my country, my county, St. John's County, it's a snapshot of our country. So the infiltration is so deep and wide, far beyond my imaginations. As an immigrant from communist China over 31 years ago. So my point is, the infiltration is so deep and wide. Many American people have not realized that part. They think, oh, everything is fine. Actually, it's not. So as I said, I will stay in REC. REC means Republican Executive Committee until I see Trump winning the 2024 election. I continued to pray for God's purpose and plans to be fulfilled on Trump and on America, in America. So that's the statement I made right after President Trump got the assassination last summer, 2024, the
right.
summer before, mm-hmm. Before the 2024 general election. So I said so. So the statement was made that I was attacked and slandered many times for being a truth teller in my county REC. In January 2025, I was kicked out from REC. Even all paperwork, candidate oath, loyalty oath, both oaths, has been submitted within the required time frame and in accordance with the correct procedures.
Let me interrupt for a moment, Joanne. Let's reiterate that. I don't know if the listeners really grasp what you said. You're part of the Republican Executive Committee in St. John's County.
Yes.
Because you stood for truth, because you stood on biblical, theological, doctrinal issues, they kicked you out. Explain that further for our listeners to understand. You didn't violate the regulations. You didn't violate the requirements. You just stood for truth as a Christian and advocating for Trump. And for, I'm trying to grasp that. I'm trying to get my hands around the mindset, not questioning you. I know exactly what you're saying. I've seen it too many times, but I want our listeners to understand it.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, let me share a little bit more for what happened in St. John's County REC. Because of, I did another work before I say something. I point out we lost 84 members in St. John's County REC in the meeting. My hands was held up for a long time. Finally, I was called and recognized. Then I walked to the front and point out we lost 84 members mm-hmm. because of poor leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Right after what I said, then my microphone was snatched behind me. And the two old men just stood up from their seats. Get out of here. And anyway, I walked away. And the gentleman who took the microphone behind me snatched away. I make some sort of comments in the Florida Voices or some kind of, you know, public media. And I say, yes, you can snatch my microphone, but you cannot snatch my life from my Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is exactly the scripture, I think, in John 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, yes, my voice cannot be heard, but I know the voice from the God. He asked me to tell the truth. So this is one instance happened in St. John's County, REC. And I just kept writing the emails to all members in St. John's County REC. The list is not easy to be found out. Even though I ask, mm-hmm. can I get the membership list? Because I'm one of the members. But they said, no, you can't. And then I just went to the election office in St. John's County. I paid the money to pay, because we can get the public records, right?
Right.
I paid the money, get the list. And then I did a lot of work. And then I found out 84 people. They totally, they don't want to come, they didn't want to come to REC anymore. Then I wrote a personal email to them. I even formed a caller team to make phone calls to reach out each member. Even some of them, they resigned, some of them removed, because you didn't come to the meeting for two or three meetings, then your name will be out. Anyway, I did a lot of work. And
Bottom line, Joanne, as I understand it, and that's not unique, I've said for quite some time, most of the work that we find in most of our counties with the REC is about as worthless as a $3 bill, simply because people will talk about good things and get them walk out of the room and never implement anything that will help save America and preserve our constitutional republic. So I'm with you. I am concerned with where we're going. It's going to take God's divine intervention in this election to put people in office that's going to help preserve the constitutional liberties that we have, or it's all going to be for naught. Joanne, let me ask you another question. There's a missionary friend that you have that's still in China. He's in prison. He's ill. He's not well at all. Tell us about that individual, why he's in prison, what he's suffering, and the need for constant prayer for him.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, giving me the opportunity to share not the things happen in my own county, in America. Also, lots of things happened in the worldwide. And I'm so thankful. Pastor Jiang Cao is a longtime missionary friend. Actually, we were born in Hunan province in China. We share kind of, you know, a similar background. Also, interesting thing I found out, my husband graduated, both of them graduated from the same university in China. And just only he was several years ahead of my husband. And Pastor Jiang Cao, he had a call from God to go back to China to do all kinds of mission work. And he came to faith because of the missionary couple went to China back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pastor Jiang Cao was he was the one of the first group college student right after the Chinese Cultural Revolution. I mean, the college examination just restored in China back in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
because he met that missionary couple in Changsha, Hunan province, the capital city. He came to faith. They gave him an English Bible and shared faith with him.
Amen.
And so that's why he treated unfairly for his assignment after graduation. But he didn't pursue the respect careers like other college students did. He abandoned the government-assigned job, mm-hmm. and because he knew back then, God was going to open a different way, different path for his life.
Amen.
Then later on with Smith's help, he came to America to study English and American literature in North Carolina. And then he went to New York for similar retraining. After that, he went back to China to serve. So because before he came to America, he already promised to God. He said, if I can come to U.S. to pursue my study, I will return to China to serve my people. Mm-hmm. And even though he's married American wife, Jamie Power, they had two sons, and I think right now both of them in the early 30s. And he's still holding his green card, I mean the permanent resident status. So that's why American people may not understand what's going on with his life. But I know everything, almost every detail. And because when he was got arrested by Chinese government, right after he crossed the border between from Myanmar to China, he got arrested by the border police with one of his co-workers. And then he was given 7-year sentence. And even his wife, she wrote a letter to him. Most of them, I think at the beginning, he might just receive a postcard from his wife. And then that means all the letters had to be reviewed by government first. Then they're going to decide which one they're going to hand to his hand, mm-hmm. give to him. And then later on, he wrote lots of poems. Basically, his elderly mother is the main person he wrote the letter with, too. And I did lots of translation work for his attorney, who are two brothers in Christ, Christian attorneys in China. I translated the reports, the updates, some of his letters and poems into English, then I could share with his wife, his family here, and all American Christians know how to pray for him.
Yes, if I could interrupt for a moment, then you're saying that at this moment, he's still in prison. His imprisonment is because of, number one, being a Christian, secondly, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell us about his physical condition, and yet even in his deteriorating physical condition, they're not allowing him to be released. Talk about that for a moment.
I already shared, so he was given seven-year sentence. He was out of prison in March 2024. But he's still not allowed to travel to U.S. to be with his family here. Mm-hmm. And he said something, even though he's out of prison, he said, I'm out of small prison and stepped into the big prison. You know China, the civilians, everything, suppression, everything. So it's kind of ridiculous. But anyway, he still actively has been serving there. He has passed through a small house church. He even traveled across China to visit the persecuted brothers and sisters in China. I mean, their families, because they are jailed. They put in prison. They were put in prison. And he went to visit their families before his illness. Recently, he was diagnosed with advanced cancer with a tumor in his spine. Mm-hmm. And he's undergoing another treatment, hormone treatment, and right now the chemotherapy.
Amen. Thank you for that. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with a question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Thank Joanne for sharing her experience with us today. I have just a clarification and then possibly a question for Joanne. I'm not sure if she's saying that she was born in a free country in China. She was born when China was free, and then she witnessed the collapse of freedom. She witnessed the change, and then managed to leave us. Then my question would be, based on the reality of what we're looking at, we seem to be seeing that or freedom in America is seriously in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And what is her opinion? Would she say that we have any chance? We know that they all depend on the Christians and God, but would she think that there's any possibility for America to escape at this time, if we can really escape the reality?
All right. Thank you for that question, Lily. Joanne, would you respond to her?
Thank you so much for your question. And China, so right now, basically, the house church unregistered to the government. They are persecuted. And Pastor Zhang's story is not an isolated case. Across China, many pastors and Christians continue to face surveillance, harassment, detention, and imprisonment because of their faith in Jesus Christ. In addition to him, there are other well-known cases such as Pastor Wang Yi and Pastor Yang Rongli and Pastor Ezra Jin Minzhi. Many house church leaders and ordinary believers have been affected simply by gathering to worship or preach the gospel. Severe crackdown on house churches continues and remains very real.
Absolutely. And Joanne, one of the questions I believe that Lily was getting to the point at also, were you born in China before the revolution and therefore you knew freedom, or is it something just simply after that? Explain that to her.
I was born during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And during that 10 years. So I can see right now, because I'm always thankful for my salvation in Jesus Christ. Just as I shared, I have never heard the gospel, I have never read the Bible, I have never known any truth about God back then in my first 24 years. So that's why I'm so thankful for everything God has planned for my life. But
because you saw the revolution, the transformation, the change, you see those things and the elements of it today in America.
Yes.
Well, Lily, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Joanne, our time is rapidly dissipating. Let's get to a fundamental wrap-up of what we're talking about today. You were at the Rededicate America 250 in D.C. just a few weeks ago. Let me ask you two or three questions in finalizing our broadcast today. What are your thoughts as the national leaders spoke? You listened to them speak. You heard President Trump. You heard Dr. Jeffries. You heard Senator Marco, or that is Secretary of State Marco Rubio. You heard Vice President J.D. Vance and Mike Johnson, Pete Hegseth, and Senator Tim Scott, Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Dr. Ben Carson, Dr. Larry Arn of Hillsdale College, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tell me your takeaway, your thoughts in relationship to that, and what you think in relationship to what you'd heard and the effect you believe it had on America.
Yeah, the gathering was so wonderful. I was so thankful for I could attend this kind of big event. The gathering was structured around the major themes. First one is called The Miracle That Made Us.
Amen.
Second one is that the miracles still in our midst. And the third one is a new birth of faith and freedom. So I'm thankful that the worship music throughout the day was powerful and inspiring. Nozzle speakers, I counted, I think over 40 speakers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. from 10:30 to 6 p.m. in the evening time.
Wonderful speakers.
Yeah, wonderful speakers, yes.
So were you encouraged with what was said about America and its future as thousands of believers were gathered together to sing, to pray, to praise the Lord? Were you encouraged by that?
Yes, I was so encouraged. This is kind of widely worshiping God. This only happened in America. Only happened in America or maybe some other countries in Europe. So that's why we need to cherish. We still have freedom. We can practice our faith openly.
Mm-hmm.
I learned again that prayer is one of the most powerful gifts and responsibilities God has given his children, not for our own will, but for his will to be done. God made Rededicate 250 happen. I pray that more Christians all over our nation feel the fire burning their hearts to be willing to rededicate themselves to God.
Amen. One of the things, Joanne, Dr. Robert Jeffers spoke, and you made a statement about that. Would you restate what you'd said in relationship to what Dr. Jeffers said and your opinion and thoughts on that as we wrap up our broadcast today?
Yeah, Dr. Robert Jeffers, he openly identified himself as a Christian nationalist, as you already shared that.
Yeah.
He said he emphasized that American founders were bold about their Christian faith and believed that the nation's success depends on God's guidance and blessing.
Absolutely. Joanne, it's been our delight to have you with us today. We're thankful for your experience and your encouragement that you've given all of us as we've talked about your coming out of communism, saying yes to Jesus Christ, and the impact that America's had on your life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.